We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, as you are hearing this song, you know what that means, right? There is no Mom and Michael Hour tonight, unfortunately. My son is very busy in Los Angeles, and he says hello to everyone. Oh, my goodness. We weren't on last week, and now he's not on tonight, and I miss him as much as you do. However, we do have a great stand-in tonight. Angela Dalton's If You Look Up to the Sky book gives girls of color an inspiring message, reinforcing that they are loved, protected, and deserve a place and presence in the world. Now, this is told by a grandmother to her grandchild. And being a grandmother myself, it really means a lot to know that this type of book has been presented, because there's a lot to having your elders impact our children, particularly our girls. So If You Look Up to the Sky, which is the name of the book, it is about the power of everlasting love and the ways the sky connects us through good times and bad. It offers a child comfort in knowing that you never need to be afraid if you look up to the sky. Angela Dalton is joining us tonight. Welcome to WCCO, Angela.
Oh, thank you so much. This is so exciting. And your intro, I'm tearing up hearing you talk about the book. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. What a great idea. Just a great idea. You know, you say about yourself that you are a computer programmer by day and a hoarder of information and a lover of beautiful books for kids. When did you first fall in love with children's books?
Oh, I mean, ever since I was a child, you know, I basically, the library was my second home.
Right.
You know, like if my parents didn't know where to find me, they went to the library because that's where I was. And I say now, you know, that I never lost that, even in growing up and becoming a woman and having a child myself. I never lost the magic that children's books have. You know, I mean, whether it's telling a tale or a fable or just helping you to escape your life, children's books just offer so much magic and beauty and warmth and understanding. So I've always had that love for them. You know, but it wasn't until last year when my baby got up, he's out on his own. He's in the real world now. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to do this. I've always wanted to do it. I've always had ideas in my head. And I sat down and I wrote this book. And everything just kind of fell into place.
Wow. This is your first voyage into children's books. And, you know, illustration for children's books can make or break a launch. Tell us how you came to work with the illustrator. What is her name again? Margarita?
Margarita Sikorskaya. She is a local in Minneapolis. So I met Margarita through Beavers Pond Publishing, which is actually located in Edina, Minnesota. They function to help authors self-publish books. And so Margarita has been a freelance illustrator with them for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was looking through their stable of illustrators, I came across her portfolio and just the richness of the colors and the beauty and the depth of her composition of people and images and objects. It just hit me that, you know, she is the one. Like, she would understand the story. She would understand the meaning of it and the depth of it that needs to be shown in illustration and visuals. And so that's how she and I met. It was kind of ironic that we met through this through Beavers Pond Publishing, but we had actually met about 15 years prior at a party, and she remembered me. And so when we had our first meeting, she was like, you know, Angela, you and I have met, we've met before, we've talked before. And really, it was like that instant she said that, it was like working with an old friend.
How about that? You know, it's really like a marriage when it comes to illustrating and those that write the spoken word, the written word. And so for you to write it and her to do the illustration, she has to bring your words to life. And you at the same time have to consider what she can do with those words. How did that work out for you? Because it really is an integral piece of a successful book.
You know, that's a great question. I'm really glad that you asked that, because I think there are a few things that happened in my collaboration with Margarita. The first was having a background in digital marketing and producing, as you mentioned before, I've had many years of experience of working with creative people and understanding that at some point you just have to let go. Like, even as the author, as the writer of these words, and you already have ideas in your head of what that's going to look like and translate visually, you have to let go and let somebody be the artist that they are. And so, you know, there are many times where Margarita would come to the table with sketches, visualizing some of the prose in ways that I never would have even thought of.
Wow.
So I'm really glad that I knew to just step back and let her do her thing, because she really brought it to the table.
Yeah, I love the very cover of the book, because it really shows this child just standing alone, looking to the sky and knowing that there is so much in the sky for her to take on, to glean, you know, for her own life. There was a review of your book that I really enjoy reading, and it went like this. One thing I love about If You Look Up to the Sky is it's a strong reminder that anything is possible. There's no need to be fearful or worry about anything, because even the sky itself is a symbol of all the beauty and hope in the world. Storms and rainbows remind us that hard times will come, but they will pass. Stars remind us that each of us is just as special as the single stars that remind us, the single stars that adorn the sky and are just as important. And that's by someone who writes for So She Writes. Is this what you hope readers would take away with the book?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That was the forefront of what I was hoping for. You know, once the book actually came into the world, it started to take on many other messages and meanings to people that I didn't even think about. Case in point, I received an email from a young man who he and his wife have just started the adoption process. And they know that they're on the road for that could be a very, very long road. And to keep them motivated, they have started building their baby's library, their future baby's library. And he sent me an email, so sweet, so nice, just telling me, you know, the message of your book of not giving up, of always having hope, is something that my wife and I really need to hear right now. And not only that, we're so excited to share that message with our child once he or she comes into our lives. And he's like, your book just gives me hope that that is going to happen, that we are going to have a family, and we're going to have that connection that you talk about in your book. And so, you know, to understand, like, while the message of, you know, of faith and togetherness and connectedness was always the point, I didn't even think about the fact of people who they themselves need to have hope and continuing that inspiration, even as adults. I really enjoyed the fact of knowing that, you know, while it's for kids between ages of, you know, 3 and 7, and it's a bedtime book, adults are finding inspiration in it for themselves. And that's just very rewarding to me.
You know, my granddaughter, the oldest, is 6 years old, and she has this gift of discernment. And so she takes on other people's worries sometimes. You know, she'll ask questions of her parents. She'll ask questions of me, and she'll say, Grandma, I just don't understand what I'm feeling. It feels like something is just not settled in the world. And to be 6 years old to use that type of language and to know what she is saying is really quite remarkable. Books help children also understand some of the things that they're going through and what they're feeling. And the children's book industry is so deep and so wide. There are many, many people who have tried it and failed. There have been many people who are sitting down right now going, God, I want to do it so bad, but I'm scared to death. Now that you've done it, are you inspired to do it again?
Absolutely. Oh, I have so many other stories that I'm just dying to get out from pen to paper. You know, and I also have to say, too, the people who are in the children's book community are some of the loveliest, most supportive people I've ever been honored and fortunate to be around. Anytime that I talk to another person who is more established or more published than I am, they have no qualms about, you know, giving me advice or talking to me or even connecting me to other people in the industry that they know. It's been truly a great journey, and I'm excited for it to continue on, and like I said, to create more books. But I'm also excited to meet more of the people in the industry, because it really has been a truly fulfilling and huge, impactful journey that I'm really glad that I took the step and did it.
Did you offer this as a, you know, to a focus group to hear the book, to read it to them, to see where it landed, how it felt for them?
I had a lot of friends with kids read the manuscript to them. It was a little tricky because at that stage of the game, you know, there's no visuals, so kids have a different type of disposition and lens that they're looking or hearing things through, right? So it really was a leap of faith of moving forward with Margarita and the visuals and seeing it all come together and seeing how kids then started to react to it.
You must feel so great about this. What age group? What is your demographic?
It's 3 to 7. I like to say it's 3 to 7. It's in the same vein as a bedtime story, like a Goodnight Moon. But of course, it features a single girl of color. She's the main character through the whole book. And I'd like to say that it's also, again, for adults, you know, maybe older kids. I hope that it just provides that message of hope and inspiration. And like you said, just knowing that you have a place and you deserve a place in the world. That's the way everybody should feel.
It's so true. You know, you have been able to get your book in really great bookstores, as well as on important online stores like Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Of course, it was a Task of Books, which is right here in the Twin Cities, as well as in stores like Red Balloon Bookstore, Wild Rumpus, Bone Shaker Books, and Eat My Words Booksellers. Those are not necessarily easy places to get the books in. How did you do it?
Oh, it really came down to I had to put on my sales cap and arm myself with books and walk in bravely and ask them for a moment of their time. You know, there's always that initial feeling that you get from an independent bookseller, which I completely understand. They are short on time. Uh-huh. They have a lot to do. And a lot of times, you know, they just don't have the time to talk to you. And
let alone read your book right then and there.
Right.
Come on, let's be real.
Right. They're like, okay, really? You can send me an email. You know? Mm-hmm. But most of the people, as soon as I said, you know, I have the book with me. It's available through distribution channels that you would order through. That kind of legitimized the book a little bit more. But once they have the book in their hands, without fail, sometimes I would be sitting there and they would just order the book while I was in the store. And they would take the time to look through the book and read the story. As soon as they saw that cover, that's how powerful I knew the cover was.
Yeah, it really is.
It just broke down any barrier that they would have or any apprehension they would have to talk to me. And they just took the book and started paging through it. And so that is really the visuals. And I think the cover of the book just stands on its own merit of that's how it affects people. As soon as they see it, they want to take the time with it. They want to get to know more about it. They want to know what it's about. And that's been really helpful.
You know, I am not looking forward to the day when they try to put children's books on e-line, you know, where you can read the children's books online. I think that's a huge mistake because there's something about holding that book, feeling it, feeling the words and the pain and the joy that all went into that book. There's something about that that's really special for children. They want to touch it. I know my grandchildren love it. My daughter reads to both of her children. Her husband does as well. I read to both of my children. In fact, my son, I was still reading to him at 14. And after I got done reading the book, he put his hands behind his head, and he said, "Mom, I love your voice. I love that you've read to me all these years, aww, but now you no longer have to do it. I think I got it." I just about cried. But do you know, my daughter was in college, her first year of college. I was still reading Don Quixote to her. I would read one chapter one night when she come home from college, and she'd read a chapter to me. It was just beautiful. So
that
you just
so
never
lovely.
Know, you know, that this continues on in life. Looking back, do you wish you would have done something differently with this particular book called If You Look Up to the Sky?
I don't think I would have been ready, to be completely honest. I feel that everything that I've done career-wise in my life has brought me to this moment where I had the experience, I had the understanding, I had the wisdom to really appreciate the words. You know, this book is based on something that my great-grandmother said to me when I was a little girl. And that was, you know, "Angela, if you ever feel lost, look up to the sky, and if you see the moon peeking ever so slightly behind the clouds, just know you're exactly where you're supposed to be." Mm. And just having that understanding of you're where you're supposed to be, as you're supposed to be, takes off so much fear. It eliminates so much fear and so much worry and desperation when all you have to do is just remind yourself, this is happening for a reason and you'll get through it, whether it's a good time or a bad time. It's all about the experience. And I think had I not had the experiences that I've had getting to this point, the book wouldn't be as powerful as it is, because I wouldn't have come to it with that understanding.
You know, that sounds like product to me. I think you need a t-shirt. There it is. Put it on a t-shirt. It works for me. Okay, that moved me right then and there. Before I let you go, Angela, I got to ask, is there one piece of advice for those listening who are really contemplating writing and publishing a children's book or two? What would you say to them?
Do it. Just, there's no reason not to do it. And don't give up on it. You know, the first thing that you're going to write is going to be horrible. It just is. But if you keep coming to the page and you keep trying different things and you keep, you know, I call it gut it and cut it.
Yeah, right.
As long as you keep trying something new, keep playing with words, keep reading, you'll finally figure out what your voice is. And that's what you're going to start seeing on the page. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has a story. And it can be overwhelming because it is a huge pool of people. And there's so many writers out there. And there's so much competitiveness in traditional publishing or publishing in itself. But everybody's voice is unique, and you have your people out there, and you will find them once you're ready to put your book out into the world.
The adage, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is such a lie. And we have found it to be true. No, it really is. It's such a lie.
Yes.
And the words that we choose to put on paper, in fact, I say here on the radio show, I tell it often that those in charge of the written word are the most powerful people in the world. And for you to put on paper something positive, well, our daughters who look like us, you know, the girls mm-hmm. who don't look like us can look up to the sky and see hope and know that what is happening around them, sometimes at their feet, is not the end all or be all, and it does not write their story. That's
exactly.
Really incredible. Congratulations to you, Angela.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We look forward to the next one. When is the next one?
I'm working on it. I've got two more manuscripts. I'm working on it. It'll happen. It'll happen very soon.
If people want to read more about you, they can go to angeladalton.com?
Yes, correct.
Angela Dalton, thank you again. Come visit us again soon.
I will. Thank you so much for having me. This was fantastic.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
I'm telling you guys, with a name like that for a book, when I first saw the cover, you know, you just know. There's a little bookshop, I believe it's called Corian in St. Paul, right on the line of East River Road, I think it is. You'll see Longfellow Grill, and it's in that same little complex. And I love going into that bookstore and seeing all of these new books on display by authors I've never heard of. And you pick it up and you read the title and you look at the cover of it, and either that's going to move you. And sometimes you go, no, let me read some of this. Maybe that's not enough. But when you find that gem and there's something about it that really touches you, it is a special moment. For any of the parents who say, I don't have the voice to read, I'm not that great at reading, try it and keep doing it. You read to your babies when they're in your belly. You read to them until you cannot read to them anymore. Every year, it may not be every night, but as often as you can, even if you have to record it on your phone and put it by their ear, even if you have to call them from your job and tell them a story. My granddaughter and I share this thing where when I'm with her in Boston, my oldest, and she'll say, Grandma, are we going to read a book tonight, or are we going to tell a story? We're going to make up a story. I say, you choose. And she always chooses for us to make up a story. And it's her choice to say who goes first. Either she'll begin the story and maybe do two or three lines, and then I chime in. And sometimes I'll say to her, continue, continue, continue. And there are other times when I will start it, and she'll say, continue, Grandma, continue. And then she'll know exactly when to add her piece. It is so special. That's what it's all about. Whether you are making it up together or you are sharing a history of the family through a story and you become the griot of the family, no matter what that is, it is so important that we read to our children. And what we choose to read to them is integral in their success. Remember that. What a pleasure to talk with Angela Dalton. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. We've got a lot to talk about. I'm sure many of you have heard about Black Panther. Michael was going to talk about Black Panther tonight, and unfortunately, he is not with us. But boy, I asked Jonathan Lowe, our in-studio producer tonight, when I came in, did you see Black Panther? He has not. Neither have I. But I know plenty of people that did. And here's something I want to say before we go to break. My niece, who is now 20 years old and in college, in her second year of college, we talked about it right after she went to see it. And I called her and said, Jasmine, tell me what you thought about Black Panther. And she said to me, Auntie, do people know who I am? And I said, honey, what do you mean by that? She says, I am beautiful. It's not that she didn't know it before, but there is something about seeing a reflection of yourself, whether it is on the big screen, the small screen, in a book. There is something about it when it's on stage. It just affirms what you've been told all your life and how that has been lived out in front of you. It was really quite remarkable. I did not expect that. I didn't expect to hear it from her. And I said to her, when you went, did you dress up for it? I hear that people are dressing up. She said, I wore my best. That is really quite remarkable. I'm hoping that I will be able to bring you very soon my take on Black Panther. I will go and see it. And yes, Geralyn Steele is going to dress up. Why not? Why not? We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The happiest song I know, just about. You know, a man wrote this song to me. Okay, I'm lying, but it feels good. On the front lobe of my left side brain. Sing it, honey. I hear you. And so I went and let you blow my mind. Woo! It is now 10:30 here at WCCO. I am really excited to bring to you this half hour to talk to someone that I have known for a while here in the Twin Cities. She is really a remarkable woman. She's probably blushing right now, and that's hard for a Black woman to do, but she can do it well. Her name is Dr. Verna Cornelia Price. She's a brilliant woman. I believe she got her PhD at the age of either 25 or 26. Her bio says that human potential expert is what she is. She's an executive coach, award-winning international speaker, and best-selling author of The Power of People, Four Kinds of People Who Can Change Your Life. Dr. Verna has empowered people to excellence for over 20 years, and she has founded Girls in Action, a mentoring and empowerment program impacting girls around the world. And she has international clients from Guatemala, Mexico, Switzerland, the Caribbean, the Netherlands, Dubai, and China. She's really a remarkable woman. And she had a chance to take Girls in Action, many of them, to go and see Black Panther. And it's time for us to talk about how it impacted those girls. Welcome back to WCCO, Dr. Verna. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for having me on this evening.
Glad to have you join us at the last minute. Shaletta is in studio working here at WCCO now, honey, and I'm so glad to see her. And to know that she knows you just makes me even happier.
Yes, ma'am.
So you went to go see Black Panther, did you?
Oh, I sure enough did. Oh, I did. And I'm so glad I did.
Was it life-changing, as so many people have been talking about, particularly for the girls in your company?
In Girls in Action. Well, let me just put it this way, all right? It was the first movie that I personally thought to myself, I wanted to be in that movie.
Oh, wow.
Myself, personally. And, you know, it just struck me. And I'm at the place now where I'm just trying to think to myself, okay, now how can I get every girl in my program, which there's 300 of them, every last girl to go see that movie. Not just one or two or three or four.
Right.
But every last girl to go and see that movie. Because it made such an impact, and I was so moved by it in so many different dimensions. Was just thrilled. And I'm still thrilled about it.
So were you able to get all of them there?
No, not yet.
So you're working on it.
I'm working on that. I'm working on getting, because you know, here's what I want them to see, and really feel kind of what I felt when I saw the movie for myself, which was African women and women, but African women in particular, being extraordinarily brilliant, extraordinarily beautiful, and just fulfilling their highest potential in every way and in every part of society without apology. I didn't see like one weak link. Like every woman in that movie just did who she was. And it was just awesome to see.
What do you expect the impact to be for the girls when they do see it?
Well, the first thing I want them to just think to themselves, that's me. That's me. The general, that's me. The mom, that's me. The spy, you know, maybe queen to be, that's me, right? I want her to see herself in that movie. I want her to think to herself, I am beautiful. I am brilliant. I am amazing. You know, I am smart. I am a scientist. When you see that young lady, like that's me. That's me inventing things. I am all of that. That's what I wanted to think to herself without apology. Like,
right.
Not looking around to see, like, what are people going to think if I'm really smart? What are people going to think if I'm really strong? You know, just be who you be. And what I know about our girls, you know, Geraldine, is that they already have all of that in them. So it was so nice to see it on the big screen, and that Hollywood is come to the place where they can show us our story and our culture and tell it so beautifully to us.
Mm-hmm. And that it has a place in our culture.
Absolutely. A very important place in our culture. And not just for, you know, African-American girls, African-American children, African-American people, but just our society in general, just overall, to see this African people be really who we really are. We're an incredibly brilliant, beautiful, cultural, you know, just rich people. And it's really fun to have that shared with the entire world in such a creative and beautiful way.
When you walked out of that movie theater, did you feel changed at all? Did you feel like something changed inside of you?
You know what I felt? I felt elated and relieved. That I think, like for one of the first times in my life, other than Hidden Figures, loved that movie.
Yep, me too.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
That we had, that our culture and our people and our way and our story had been told as close to our cultural ways as it could be. And it was not violated in any way. And I so love that, you know. There wasn't swearing and sexing and, you know, ghettoing and thugging and all that foolishness that society has sold us that we are, and we're really not. We're just these incredibly brilliant cultural people who know how to make things happen. And it was fun to see that. And I left that movie hopeful that in some way, shape, or form, that our young people are going to get that vision.
Mm-hmm. And the vision has a whole lot to do with the images that we've already seen of ourselves. You know, when you look back at the advent of music videos in the 80s, remember that? And all of a sudden, you know, these girls of color started seeing a reflection of themselves in people like Janet Jackson and so many more, right? And they were aspiring to do that. They were thinking, oh, my goodness, I can do that. I can dance like that. I can move like that. I can look like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then here you know, when you look at Hidden Figures, there was still that moment, those moments in that movie where the women were, there were other people trying to hold them back and hold them down. In Black Panther, even though it is based on a Marvel, you know, a Marvel character, this movie is really all about them being strong and staying strong. It's not about holding them back, correct?
Nobody was holding them back. Nobody was holding them back. Nobody was trying to put them in their place, quote unquote. Nobody was trying to, like, make them into this other thing. They were simply, actually, they were creating the space themselves to be strong and brilliant and innovative and, you know, cultured. So I love this part, right? So the general, who was awesome, right? And so she has to get dressed up to go on this, you know, mission. And, of course, you know, they put a wig on her. And she's like, what is this thing on my head?
Right.
And of course, goes, oh, just swing it, honey, just swing it. And, of course, the general's like, you know, I don't need this thing on my head to be beautiful. I'm already beautiful. You know, wow. My hair is short. I have my features. I'm deep chocolate brown. I've got full lips. I am incredibly beautiful, and I don't need anything artificial on me to make me anything that I'm not, which is just beautiful. So I love that. I love that part when she took that wig and tossed it off of her head and just, you know, just flung it somewhere. It was awesome.
That is one thing I've heard a lot about, Dr. Verna, is people saying that it really has brought natural hair to the forefront, although there has been a massive movement where so many women of color have been wearing their natural hair for more than a decade now. But this really put a light on it, didn't it?
You know, and for our girls, right? So I get to look at all of our girls all the time. And I look at them and I just say to them, you know, you're so beautiful and you're so brilliant. You're so intelligent. You're so valuable. You're so important. You're so lovable. You're so powerful. And the truth is that you really don't need false eyelashes to be beautiful. You were beautiful before they came along. Now, is there anything wrong with fashion? Absolutely nothing. But, you know, but when you're using fashion because you're covering up the fact that you're really not confident about who you are and you really don't like who you are, I love that moment where this general was like, hey, you know what? I am who I am, and I am beautiful just like I am, and I don't need any of this stuff to make me feel any other way. And by the way, in the middle of the fight, of course, she takes it and she whips it off and uses it as a weapon. That was awesome.
So were you surprised that this had to be addressed in the movie?
That had to be addressed?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure who wrote the script. I'd love to talk with them because they managed to put all of these very, what I would say, kind of messages about our culture and what's been put into our culture and what we've accepted into our culture to be able to tell this story. So when I say it was a cultured story, it really was, it was so full. And I look forward to just kind of sitting and watching and studying it even more carefully because even the dialogue and how they framed certain messages and really what the Black Panther really is doing, I think, is creating new narratives. Which is old narrative for the African people, and creating new narrative in the broader population about the African people so that this bigger message and understanding of who we really are, which is already in, it's already in the earth. That message is already there, but it's just been covered up for so long. And for it to be put out there in this really big way, I'm hopeful. I'm very, very hopeful about our young people, particularly our girls, that they begin to change how they see themselves because this movie is going to help them.
Girls in Action is the name of the organization, and you are really making a difference in these girls' lives. These girls are wanting to be so much more than just a girl. And there's nothing wrong with being a girl, don't get me wrong, but they have really, you've opened their eyes to so much more and brought so many mentors into their space to really affect them in such a positive way. When this happens, when you can actually get them there, first of all, what is it going to take to get them there? What do you need?
What do I need?
Yeah.
I need a theater just for them, right? Just so that they can have the theater themselves.
Okay.
So then we can have a conversation ourselves after the show all together and be able to really maybe even bring in women leaders from across the Twin Cities to have that conversation with them and really kind of have them think and talk with us about how they're thinking and feeling and how their own perspectives are changing as a result of seeing themselves on the big screen this way. So I need my own theater and the movie. And
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are, I would suggest, and I know you didn't ask for this at all, but I would suggest that you contact the Twin Cities Film Festival, to see who they know. Because I know they do a lot at the Icon in St. Louis Park when it comes to the festival. And maybe there's someone that they know where it's already playing and they're willing to, you know, help in some way to so that these 300 girls can really see this and then have this discussion. I would love to be in the audience just listening to that discussion. I think it's remarkable that you want to do that and that we know that something like this can have such an impact. And if we know that this can have an impact on these girls of color, can you imagine all the impact of girls of non-color that have been affected or infected by something that they saw on the big screen? So we know the power of the big screen, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so here we are, you wanting to show them something that can affect them in a beautiful way. I really, really hope to support you in that. You can count on me for a donation if you need us to donate. I would love to help out in any way I can because I think it's that important. I can't wait to go see it. Now, I haven't heard one bad review just yet. Not one.
Have you not seen it?
I have not seen it.
Why are you talking to me?
That's what I'm saying. I want to know, honey. I want to see it. I got to go see it. But to know when Shaletta said that you are trying to get the girls in action to really go and see this and then have this talk, this important talk, I just thought, oh, man, it would be great to have you on tonight. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
You're so welcome. And when you see it, I want you to call me and let's have another conversation.
You got a deal.
I want to know. Who are you in that movie? I already know who I am.
Who are you?
I can't tell you.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
I know you're the general. Come on. You're either the one making the plans or you're implementing the plan. Same thing, darling. Same thing. Exactly. Dr. Verna Cornelia Price, if people would like more information about you, who you are, what you do, where do they go?
You know, just go to our Girls in Action website. It's giaction.org. giaction.org. It has all of our information, all of our contact information. Learn about me, learn about the organization, learn about how to get involved. Would love people anywhere across the Twin Cities, get involved. Be a mentor coach, be a career coach for us, a leadership speaker, be a donor. Get involved.
Wow, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, take care of you.
Keep doing your great work. Love
you. Thank you. Love you too. It is now 10:49. Before we take a break, I want to get Shaletta on. Shaletta Brundage is a woman that has been in the industry here in the Twin Cities for many years and then moved away. She has four beautiful children. Her and her husband have been together for a couple of decades now, almost. And she is new here to the WCCO family. And so I want to say congratulations to you, Shaletta. I don't know if you can get on microphone right quick for me so you can say hello. But I've known her for many years. And when you moved away, we missed you terribly. I mean, you are someone who was behind the mic before. You did many of the rants. You and I worked together over at Almanac.
Right.
I'm missing you there. Every time I see Kevin Berger, she always mentions, have you talked to Shaletta?
I know.
And then all of a sudden, you sent me a picture of all four of the children and your husband and you. And I just went, are you kidding me? And here you are. Here at WCCO Radio. It's great to see you.
It's great to be here. I'm having a great time and everybody's just welcomed me like family and it feels like a family. So I'm glad to finally have a home.
Yeah, finally have a home. Exactly. Yeah. Well, welcome. I expect
Thank you. Great things
from you and looking forward to working with you on Sunday nights. Jonathan Lowe has been great helping to train you in and I think you'll be running things in the next couple of Sundays. So here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. When you heard what Dr. Verna said, mm-hmm. Knowing that a movie like this can affect the children, right? In
right.
so many ways. She kept saying the African people. Do you have any concerns that what they see is from the motherland, but they may not feel like, you know, African-American girls may not feel like, well, that's not how it is in this country.
No, because they tied it together so well in the movie. They made it feel like it wasn't some faraway, mystical, mythical place. It was real. These are people that you felt like you could touch and identify with. They were speaking your language and using technology that you use and dressing like you dress and had the same sass and hairstyles that you have. So you felt a definite connection and there was no disconnect in, you know, being on another continent. You felt like these were your people. This was you and you were them.
And how did you feel when you left the theater?
Empowered and inspired. I applied for this job after I left the theater. I wanted to do more and be more and step outside of my comfort zone. And and start doing my purpose, start living my purpose.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
And then a movie, we're talking about a character that doesn't really exist.
Right, it's this is pretend stuff
that would have this kind of impact. Are you surprised at that? I am.
No, because we needed something like this. You know, a lot of movies that have us in it, we have to come from the hood or sell drugs or rap or dance. Mm-hmm. And these were people who were royalty from the very beginning. They were, you know, kings and queens and held their rightful place. And so it gives you a sense of pride and helps you to remember the real history of from whence we came. And, mm-hmm. and it reminds everybody that, you know, we do have a history and it goes beyond slavery.
It is great to have you here at WCCO Radio. Great to see you.
Thank you.
All right. Is it time for me to say goodnight, Jonathan? Not yet? Great. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I love this song. It is now 10:56 here at WCCO. We also want to let people know that this, you know, Wakanda Forever, this whole Black Panther thing has made so much money. Usually Michael talks about this, as you know. He is our film critic. And I just want to let people know that it is now currently made. Are you ready for this? $704 million. It is fast approaching $2 billion in 2 weekends. Whoa! Wrap your head around that, Jonathan. $704 million worldwide. It made $400 million domestically so far and $304 million worldwide. So I don't even know. Have they even released it in China yet? I'm not even sure about that. Do you know?
You'd have to ask Michael. I do not keep up with those trends.
Yeah, and Michael
I do have
will
a couple
here.
People at my other job I can ask, but I'm not sure yet.
Well, stay tuned. Michael's going to come on and really talk about his entire experience because he dressed up for it. He went with like 15 different people. Everybody dressed up. Either they were in black or African attire or something.
I still want picture proof that he wore a dashiki.
He did. Go to his Facebook page. He did. He actually did. It has been an absolute joy to be here with you. Even though I'm not feeling the best, you make me feel better. And I can't wait till next Sunday. Good night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.